I have a few verses here that we'll want to read and then bring out the subject that we have at hand here this morning. In Psalm 22, we have a prophetic psalm here. David writing this psalm and speaking to the Lord, I believe, about himself. It's kind of one of those passages that indeed has dual application, dual meaning, or dual context. And this first verse of this chapter, or Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary cried those words. And not only did David cry them, but it was prophetic about the Lord. And in verse number 16, we just want to take a look at this excerpt here, this one scripture here. He says here, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. We don't know in particular from the Word of God if that directly applied to David or not, but we certainly know that it is prophetic about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah chapter 12, take a look over here, Zechariah chapter 12. In the Old Testament, we see a passage here, and about what the Lord is going to do and what the Lord has promised, how he's going to save, in verse number 7 of Zechariah 12. And we read verse number 10. Where the Lord says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. We want to remember about that, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Speaking about when Jesus comes there to Jerusalem. And of course, the scripture is fulfilled. It's mentioned in John chapter 19, referring to this passage about the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And I believe it's also prophetic about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And then in Luke chapter 24, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and his death and his burial and his resurrection, he triumphantly meets with his church. He goes to his church first and foremost and meets with them. And we pick it up in verse number 36, And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. That's the reason he said what he did. Because, listen, when heaven comes down, men are afraid. Okay? Remember that. That's what the Bible declares. People don't have discussions with angels at the foot of their bed. And I was going to say live to tell about it, but tell about it, and it was just like a conversation with their best friend or their buddy. No. When angels come down, when the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself to his church in his glorified body, when heaven comes down, that's what I mean by that, when those of heaven come down to us upon earth, there is always fear. It's a mark it down in the scripture. And so that's how you can tell if somebody's seen anything or not. Because in this day, people just gloat and glorify themselves about it. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they'd seen a spirit, or as we would say, a ghost. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. You saw me crucified. You saw me nailed to that tree. Look at my hands and my feet. He says, behold my hands and feet, that is I myself. Handle me. He says, touch me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And this morning we want to consider just about that, that very thing, the feet of our Lord. The feet of our Lord. In Isaiah chapter 52, let's take a look over here. A lot of passages to look at this morning. Some I'll invite you to turn to, some I'll just read to you. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet, amen. In Romans chapter 10, in that passage there, and the Lord telling about how he works with men and how they hear and how a preacher is sent and how they preach and how the word of God goes forth and that sinners are convicted and they hear and they believe and they trust and they call out and they confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, "Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off." He says, "Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings." Truly, there's no greater, I know this is bad English, a bringer of good tidings than Jesus Christ, is there? He is the one. As it says, and we've read recently in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, "And there was delivered unto him there in Nazareth the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" The Lord's feet are indeed beautiful, aren't they? He has brought glad tidings unto us. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publisheth salvation. There's no greater one. We are sent. And indeed, that's an application to us as the Lord's people and as the Lord's churches, the Lord's ministers and pastors and preachers and missionaries. The Lord has declared that we do have beautiful feet in carrying that word. But there's no one that stands greater than the Lord Jesus Christ in that, because he brought the message in the beginning, didn't he? Yeah. And indeed, as we consider the feet of our Lord, indeed, they are beautiful feet that bear glad tidings. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." We are witnesses, but he is the faithful witness, isn't he? And beautiful feet he has. "And the first begotten of the dead, he was raised first, and we will be raised with him. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So we consider the feet of our Lord. Indeed, they are beautiful. Beautiful feet that bear glad tidings to men. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And so beautiful feet, the Lord's feet indeed are beautiful. And as you know, we don't know exactly what the Lord's feet looked like, but we know that they were pierced. And that was something that In the course of studying and putting together for this message and considering this thought, when we consider about the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and the thought of his feet, they are pierced feet. And I don't think amongst mankind there would ever be a one of us that would say that beautiful feet would be pierced feet. But they are beautiful. Because he was pierced for me. He was pierced for we who are saved. They were pierced for sinners. And because of that, they are beautiful. He had those piercings, that piercing of his hands and his feet and the piercing of his side. I believe he had that, of course, after the resurrection, but I believe he has that now. There's no mention of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture having scars, but wounds. And I believe there'll be a testimony of what he's done for us through eternity. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, we consider another point. In Numbers chapter, or Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 33. Listen to this. Verse number 1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints, and from his right hand went a fiery law for them. That's interesting. Good messages, no doubt, could be preached from that. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 35, the scripture says, and they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, the demoniac at Gadara. Remember that? He came up there to Gadara, and there was this man that was going through the tombs, and he couldn't be bound by chains and fetters. He would break the fetters, and he would loose himself from the chains, and he could not be held by any man. He was possessed by legion, because there were many, many demons within him. And the Lord, they couldn't restrain him. They couldn't bind him. He went around in the tombs cutting himself and went there in the tombs naked. And just a madman. Until the Lord Jesus Christ came. And the Lord cast out legion. And legion declared and asked if the Lord would suffer them to go into the swine. If I remember right, I'd forgotten this. But I went across that here not too long ago, 3,000 head of swine. 3,000 head. And legion went into those swine, and the Lord healed that man of those demons, and he saved his soul. And where is he found? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. You know, there's teaching and learning at the feet of our Lord. You know, we're blessed indeed in our country with independence. Oh, but we're so tempted, and I'll say it this way, we're tempted and tried by the great blessing of independence that we have in our country, freedom, that we don't see ourselves, we don't see ourselves as it being necessary that we humble ourselves to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. The feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is a good place to be. There's teaching, and there's learning there. Oh, but if I go out and I chase this thing of the world and that thing of the world, and I'm not talking about anything necessarily sinful, but I get my priorities upside down, I chase out and pursue after this thing and that thing and the other thing, rather than having a balance and having it, because we've got to live in this life and we've got to do the things that are necessary in this life, but we've got to feed from the Lord. We must. For the child of God will starve to death if we don't feed. And learn and be taught at the feet of Jesus. Not us going to the Word of God and trying to prove something because Jim Duke wants it, but going to the Word of God and hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. There's learning. and there's teaching at the feet of Jesus. You remember Sister Mary in Luke chapter 10, verse number 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was all tore up about serving, wasn't he? You know, sometimes a servant just needs to be left alone. It'll take care of itself. We'll find something. We'll find something. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, but Mary hath chosen the better part. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our ladies. The ladies worked hard and put on a good time of refreshments Friday night and our fellowship dinners and such as that. I'm thankful for that. I am. It's a blessing. I salute you for that. But in all things, may we have the order and the focus right of things. We're challenged. May the Lord help us that we put things in the right order. That's not a complaint. That's just a reminder. That's what we all need to do. Men, we won't necessarily be thinking about what to put together back there in the fellowship hall for a time of a fellowship meal or that, but we might be thinking about other things that are pressing on our minds. May the Lord help us that we always take time to sit and learn and be taught at the feet of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, let's take a look over here. In Matthew chapter 15, considering about the feet of our Lord. Matthew chapter 15. Helps if I get in the right chapter, doesn't it? It'll always look better. In verse 29 of Matthew 15, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. At Jesus' feet, there's healing in there. How is it that we can have any hope of being helped and healed? Yeah, even from the common cold, without the help and blessing of Jesus. There's healing. The feet of the Lord are beautiful and precious indeed. And there's learning and teaching there at his feet. And indeed, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is healing. Look at the faith of these people. They brought their loved ones. They brought their kin. They brought their friends. They brought their neighbors. They knew Jesus could heal them. They knew it. It was manifested because they took them and they carried them there. And they laid them at his feet. And the Lord healed them. And so many times it says in the Gospels that the Lord healed them all. He was never challenged by anything, was he? Nor is he challenged today. And may we remember that. Are you sick? Do you have ailments? Do you have problems? Do you have issues? Well, do you take them to the Lord? If we don't take them to the Lord, we're going in our own strength. Are you tired? Are you hurting? Are you troubled? We'll have no help if we don't go to the Lord. And for the child of God, indeed, we can go to the Lord. We're bid of him to come to him and bring our burden unto him. There's healing at the feet of our Lord. In Mark chapter 5, you know the man Jairus. He's the ruler of the synagogue. And the Lord Jesus, if my memory serves me correctly, he is just coming back from there and dealing with the demoniac at Gadara. And in Mark chapter 5, verse number 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. We've seen that there's healing. And I've mentioned about it already that we need to take these things to the Lord. We need to understand and know that there's beseeching. There is to be beseeching and prayer at Jesus' feet. Understand that prayer is just not a special Prayer is not a special group or portion of words that's been put together by somebody that we repeat and say over and over and over and over again. The model prayer in the Scripture, certainly it is true, and it's the instruction of the Lord unto us, but it's a directive on how we are to pray about particular things in our lives. We're to honor the Lord. We're to seek His face about the particular things of our lives. And you know what? This man, Jairus, being a ruler in the synagogue, he had a need indeed. And it says he went and besought the Lord. That doesn't mean to, Jesus, if it works out for you, won't you come over here and help out my daughter? It says he besought him at his feet. We don't even see that in our country, do we? Some getting down before others at their feet. But this man was so in need. His daughter was, it was such a grave situation with his daughter. It said he fell at his feet. We need to fall at the feet of our Lord Jesus. And we need to beseech him, don't we? We've got plenty to beseech him for. Because see, if he doesn't work, there'll be no help. There'll be no salvation. There'll be no blessing. There'll be no touch of God. May we beseech Him. May we beg Him. Yes, that's what the word means. And may there be prayer at His feet. In Mark chapter 7, just a couple chapters on down in the book, the Scripture says in verse number 26, Mark chapter 7, verse number 25, and a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. You know the account, I trust you do. It says it's not right to give the children's food to the dogs. Oh, she didn't quit, did she? She didn't quit. She knew who had the answer to her problem. She knew the only one that could really help her daughter. And she went to him in spite of being one that he wasn't even sent to. Hear that? Not a likely candidate for help. And the Lord even, in a sense, rebukes her for her coming. And she says, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the children's table. He said, your daughter's healed. What's he go on to say? But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. She didn't quarrel with him. She said, agreed. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, listen to this. For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. There's beseeching and prayer to be made at the Lord's feet. Our prayer is just our request of the Lord. That's what prayer is our request. Just like you would ask me or I would ask you to come and help me, it's the same way with us going to the Lord Jesus. Understand that. I think there's been a bill of goods sold that prayer is something more mysterious and mystical. And certainly we need to reverence the Lord, and we need to know who it is that we're praying to. But prayer to the Lord is nothing more than bringing our burden, our thanksgiving, our worship, and our praise, all those things unto Him, just you and Him. Do you get along alone with the Lord? Is your relationship with the Lord, does it only happen in church services? I pray not. We'll be found starving if that's all we have. Oh, we need to walk with the Lord. Brother Enoch walked with the Lord, didn't he? You know, and the Lord's pressed that upon my heart in recent years. I need to walk with the Lord. He's right there. I need to walk with Him. You got a complaint, complain to him. And if you're not ashamed, then maybe your complaint's justified. You know what I'm saying? I might fuss and growl at Clarissa about something, but can I really face the Lord with it? If I can really face the Lord with it and not be ashamed about it, then maybe it's justified. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe beseech the Lord about things. Remember Mary, when Lazarus was dead and the Lord tarried, he waited and came at the time that's right. Mary came to Jesus in John chapter 11 and she fell down at his feet. There's beseeching and prayer to be made at the Lord's feet. In Luke chapter 17, the scripture says here in Luke chapter 17, the Lord's going through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He's on the way to Jerusalem, if you understand it right. Verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They weren't whispering, were they? But they pleaded him, they cried out to him, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go you show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They obeyed him. Are you obeying him? Leprous sinner, are you obeying him? He says, repent. He says, cry out unto the Lord for mercy. He says, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord with your problem, your sin, your guilt, your shame. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Are you obeying him? As they went, they were cleansed. They're seeing that leprosy going away as they're heading towards the priest. And listen to what it says. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Praise God! Praise God! And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Yeah, Jesus even healed a Samaritan. You know, there's thanks to be given at the Lord's feet too, isn't there? Thanks, because he is worthy of thanks. Beautiful pierced feet, at which there is learning and teaching, at which there is healing, at which there must be beseeching and prayer be made, and thanksgiving given unto him. In Psalm chapter 99, verse number 5, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. There should be admiration, worship, and love expressed for our Lord at his feet. Psalm 132, verse 7. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Do we bow before the Lord? Do we bow before the Lord in our hearts and minds? Do we bow before our Lord in our prayer closet? Yeah. You, there at home, by yourself, in some room, and just bow down before your Lord and pray and thank Him and praise His name. If He showed up in person, what would we do? Would we be stalwart? And I think if the Lord Jesus Christ showed up right now, His people would bow down before Him. It's just the way that it is with Him. We need to bow down before him. It's in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, just a few chapters away. In Luke chapter 7, we see here a woman touched by the Lord. The Lord's been invited to Simon's house, right? In verse number 38, we see Verse 37, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Well, Simon had trouble with it, didn't he? But that woman had been saved by the Lord. I believe she indeed had been saved by the Lord. She was a sinner. We don't know what it was, but it could be that she could have been a loose woman, as we would say. And at the preaching of our Lord Jesus, the visiting of the Lord Jesus, she had been saved, and she heard that he was there. She spared no expense to the washing and the anointing of her Savior's feet. There's thanksgiving. There is admiration, worship, and love to be expressed at the feet of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 28, when the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and we've already read passages about how he appeared into his church and the challenge that he gave them to touch his hands and to see the wounds in his hands and his feet and in his sides. We see here the great joy that they have and the great admiration for their Lord and our Lord. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9, we see here, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They touched those beautiful feet, those beautiful pierced feet, and they worshiped him. You are alive. It is you. You have done what you said for us. For us, you've done it. And you've come back. And your majesty and your power and your glory and your greatness is shining forth even to us now. There was a distinction between when the Lord walked upon the earth and ministered unto them and when his glory was revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration, wasn't it? I believe that when the Lord appeared now, he is as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they held him by the feet. They worshiped him. There's admiration, worship, and love to be expressed at the Lord's feet. We know that Mary, the sister of Martha, Lazarus' sister, anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus on several occasions. And we see here in Revelation chapter 1, John writes in verse number 15 of chapter 1, and his feet, the Lord Jesus, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Because relative to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in this old human existence, there's no other place to be than to be prostrate before him. There's worship and admiration and love to be expressed at his feet. In Isaiah chapter 45, the scripture says, I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Romans chapter 14, that same scripture is referred to, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God that he's number one. He's preeminent. He's above number one. At our Savior, at our Lord's feet, all will bow. I tell you, bow the knee now. Matter of fact, it says every knee. Doesn't that mean both? Bow the knees to the Lord now. So if you don't in this life, you will in that life to come. Bow to him at his feet. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things that under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is all wrapped up. Every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus. He's preeminent. preeminent over all. Every knee is going to bow at those beautiful, pierced feet. Because He's worthy. He is the Lord. And you know what? In Psalm 110, verse number 1, David writing, "The Lord said unto my Lord," isn't that something? "The Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "said unto my Lord," David writes, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, "sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." All is going to not only bow to the feet of our Lord, but all is going to be put under His feet. The Father is speaking to the Son, "I'm going to take all your enemies and I'm going to put them at your feet, below your feet. I'm going to make them your footstool." Several references to this in the Gospels. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the Scripture says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church." That's who our head is here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we as His church are to be found at His feet. Does that bother you? Does that stir up our pride? May God help us if it does. We need to be at the feet. We need to be submissive and desirous and worshipful and pray. Great Savior, God and King. We're heading to eternity to be with Him forever. And this little time here is our time to serve Him in this life. In Psalms 8, verse number 6, speaking about mankind, "And these things will be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou madest Him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under His feet." We, mankind, Adam's lineage, we haven't done it. We haven't done it. We haven't had dominion to the praise and honor and glory of God like He designed or expected us to do. But you know what? Jesus Christ, Adam's son, God's son. Isn't that something? Or of the descendants of Adam, the second Adam, the Scripture says, He'll do it. And we're the benefactors. Isn't that wonderful? We receive the blessing of it. And He does it for us. And we're blessed by it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 25, "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet." Verse 27, "For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him." Now, we can kind of look at that and say it's kind of double talk. But God the Father is going to put all things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can know that the Father has done it. All things will be put under His feet. You know what? That includes death. Death, the enemy of mankind, is put under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ because He's defeated death, hasn't He? Even death. What can you and I do about death? Nothing. Jesus has. He's defeated it. He's defeated it. And then in Hebrews, there in the first and second chapter, in chapter number 1, verse 13, "But to which of the angels said He at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." In chapter 2, verse number 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." It's happening. It's not done. But it will be done. Just as those things that have been put under His feet have been done so, all those things that are not yet will be. Mark it down. You know what? Another consideration of the feet of our Lord is found in Isaiah chapter 66. Take a look over here. I find this interesting and a blessing. The feet of our Lord. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye will build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? The Lord asked this question. He said, heaven is my throne. Where are you going to build a house for me? Where's going to be the place of my rest? Okay? And of course, there is an implication here that, and I think that's the major thought of this particular passage, but we want to bring from this the consideration and the point, does God ever need to rest? Never. He doesn't have to rest. He doesn't need a place to rest. But you know what? There is a place that He's ordained, isn't there? There is a place. In Ezekiel chapter 43, Ezekiel chapter 43, listen to what the Lord says. In Ezekiel chapter 43, verse number 7, and He said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings, nor by their whoredom, or by their carcasses of their kings in their high places. You know what? Jerusalem is going to rest under His feet. Jerusalem will rest under His feet. No, the Lord doesn't need a place of rest. He doesn't require a place of rest. But He's chosen to have a place where His name's going to be. And He will give Jerusalem rest. Jerusalem will rest under His feet. And I find that He says there, the place of the soles of my feet. That's where He's going to land. That's where He's going to be. That's where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then a new heaven and a new earth in that new Jerusalem for eternity. He'll be right there. It'll be under His feet. In Zechariah chapter 14, take a look at this. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 4. And His feet shall stand, speaking of the Lord Jesus, in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall... Let me read it again. And His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove to the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Jerusalem's going to rest under the Lord's feet. In Luke chapter 24, and we'll close. Back in Luke chapter 24. In verse number 39, the Lord Jesus says to His disciples there, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see for yourself. You that are here without Christ, will you see the Lord for yourself? Not any other entering into it. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. What do we read in Psalm 22? they pierced my hands and my feet. Those beautiful pierced feet of the Lord and Savior, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.